friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, listen, if he isn't your Savior, he can be, he wants to be. I tell people all the time that he came to be. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save with that which is lost." Now look, there was one day, April the 23rd, 1974, I woke up on my way to a devil's hell. That's exactly right. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was undone. I was a sinner by birth. I was a sinner by choice. Thank God. Listen, before I pillowed my head, I want to shout right now, before I pillowed my head that night, thank God, I was saved, friend. I was redeemed. I was on my way to heaven. And look, that could be your testimony this day. Hey, look, January the 25th, 2024. You can be saved today by the grace of God. You can be washed in the blood and made a new creature in Christ Jesus. How wonderful would that be? You know what you'd have? Well, you'd have eternal life. You'd have Christ. Look, you'd have the indwelling of the Spirit. You'd be sealed by Him. And you'd have the earnest. And look, though, look, you'd have peace. You would have peace. You would have such peace that, well, it's unexplainable, but I'll tell you what, it's awful, awful, listen, awful experiential, meaning that you could know it personally for yourself. You may not be able to explain it, but I'll tell you what, you'll know what it is. And there's a lot of things that you can have. Look, I'm gonna look in the Word of God out of the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my text is. I do that on occasion, and I feel like that I need to do that today. I'm going to talk to you about something precious, pure, and powerful. Look, I'll be back. Listen, I'll be back after the song, and Debbie's got a beautiful song queued up, tuned up, ready to go. I'll be back after she sings about saved by the blood of the Lamb to share my message with you. Hey, I'm praying for you, and I'm certainly thankful that tuned in today. May God bless you right now.
Oh, I have been set free, and I will live eternally, 'cause I've been born again since I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came for you and me. He came to set the captive free.
Well, I like that. Thank God. Thank God. Debbie, thank you for that song. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of it and the message that's in it. Look, I'm going to tell you, friend, you'll never be saved without two things. Well, without three things. Without grace, without faith, and without the blood. Without the blood, the Word of God says clearly in the book of Hebrews 9:22, without the blood, there is no remission of sin. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter says in verses 18 and following. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or lifestyle received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I'm here to talk to you today about something precious, pure, and powerful. And you say, what is it going to be, preacher? I'm going to talk to you about the blood. About the blood. Now look, please don't turn your radio off. Don't change channels. A lot of people are offended about the blood. A lot of people get a little squeamish about the blood. But I'll tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, through a man that was a rugged fisherman by the name of Peter, it's precious. It's precious blood. Thank God. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. It's the blood of the Son of Almighty God. It's blood that's pure. It's blood. Now listen, that's sufficient. It's powerful. And oh, friend, listen, it'll be precious to you today. It'll be precious to you today. You'll know how precious that it is. If you let it, if you ask God to save you, if you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, and if you repent and by faith receive Him, I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll cleanse you. It will cleanse you. And I'll get more on this a little bit later. It'll purge your conscience to where you can serve the living God. How wonderful is it? Hey, look, friend, there's been a lot of effort in days gone past, and I'm afraid to successfully in some circles where men and women had no spiritual backbone to remove the blood from the Word of God, to remove the blood from their hymnals in churches in certain denominations. But I'll tell you what, friend, let me quote to you what I already quoted just a few minutes ago. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, I can't remember the writer of this song, but hey, it's been sung as long as I've known what goes on inside the church house. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Whole within, whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. It is verse 7 what the Word of God says. In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. If you go to the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 14, you'll find that verse almost exactly verbatim, if not verbatim. Can I tell you there's a lot of Bibles? And if you've got, let's say, I believe it is in the NIV, I call that not inspired, virgin. You know what? You won't find that verse in your Bible. You won't find it. They've removed you. So a preacher, that's just two places in the Word of God. That's not bad, is it? Hey, I'm going to tell you. Hey, listen, friend, I'm going to tell you, when you begin to mess with the Word of God says He'll take your part out of the Lamb's book of life. Hey, look, friend, I'll tell you, it's a serious thing. A serious thing. I bless God to mess with God's Word and the Word and the God of the Word. I'm telling you, our God is a consuming fire. I want to talk to you about the blood. You know it's so important? You know how important that it is? Listen, the Bible makes reference now just to the word blood 447 times. 447 times. You know what? If God says something once, it's significant. If He just says something one time, it's worth setting up, paying attention to it, and making sure you understand it as clearly and correctly as you and I can. But oh, if God spends enough time from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation to mention and to make, listen, the topic of the blood, the main topic, I'm telling you, friend, we ought to sit up. We ought to take notice. We ought to listen intently. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, there's something about the blood. I don't ever forget when I was just a young boy. I don't know the preacher's name. I've heard some good preaching in my life on Pond Fork. In fact, I'll just tell you the truth. I heard some of the best preaching on Pond Fork that I've ever heard in my life. I mean, those two gentlemen by the name of Rex Workman and John Hager. Hey, listen, friend, to the greatest men of God that I've ever heard. Orville Belcher. He could not only quote verses of Scripture, but whole chapters. Isn't that amazing? I mean, my spiritual mentor, Horace Sitton, that taught me and others, look, chapter and verse, how wonderful that it is. But they weren't the only ones. I mean, one of my spiritual heroes, Arnold Price, listen, had the touch of God on his life. Listen, friend, I'll tell you, you know what, they all preach, and I could go on with a longer list. They preach that there's power in the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for men that'll preach it, men that'll proclaim it, men that'll let people know how that's the only way that they can be saved. Thank God for the blood. Now look, can you imagine that old rugged fisherman Peter? I believe he uses the word precious in his two epistles at least five times, and maybe, as I'm trying to go through my memory, seven times. But oh, I'll tell you, friend, listen, look, all things are purged by the blood. Hey, God will purge your conscience. God will purge you from that guilt of your sin. And I'll say more about that in a little bit. Can I give you a verse of Scripture out of the book of Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11? And you Bible men and women that are listening to me, you know what I'm going to read. I think I could quote it, but I want to read it. Listen to what he said about how important the blood is in verse 11 of Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Hey, can I tell you what? He said the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about physical life there, without a doubt. He's talking about the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and lambs and doves and pigeons, without a doubt. Without a doubt, there's a referral to that. But I'm going to tell you, there's also an inclusion of that. That's talking about the physical life that you and I have. Hey, I don't know much about the blood. I don't know how to explain it and what all the different parts of it makes up the blood does very much. But I'll tell you this. I know that you can't live without it. I know if you bleed so much, you'll die. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, look, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Word of God knew that way before men of science knew that. Way before, friend, men of science knew that. God said the life of the flesh is in the blood. Boy, I'll tell you what, the blood is amazing. Ever since I've started having my kidney problems that I have, and I've gotten a transplant almost a year ago. Listen, friend, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what they could know about the blood. I'm amazed at how they could look at my blood and tell me where I've got deficiencies. Tell me where things are good. Tell me how that certain things are markers for this and that. And we got to be cautious. Oh, look, friend, that's an amazing thing, is it not? Oh, they can tell me so many things about the blood. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that I know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm glad I know that God sent His Son to the world so that He could shed His blood for my sin, your sin, and the sin of all the world. Isn't that amazing? Look, when that Roman soldier on Mount Calvary, after that Jesus had already cried, Te Telestai, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Bible said when he stuck the spear in our Lord's side, forthwith came blood and water. Oh, there's such a message in that, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the shed blood of Jesus. It wasn't spilled. Bless God, it was shed that day for sinners like me and you. But I got to get on with the message. Time runs so quickly when I'm on this side of the microphone. First of all, friend, listen, it's precious. Oh, it's precious to both God and man. And like I said, that rugged fisherman by the name of Peter, he knew the power of the blood. You say, how did he know it, preacher? He knew its power because, listen, by the time he wrote this, it had already covered his sins. It had washed him from his sins in the blood of the Lamb. That's what Revelation 1 and 5 says. Isn't that wonderful? He said, look, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Oh, sinner friend, I don't know how God can take a black heart like mine, wash it with red blood, and make it whiter than snow, but I can testify to you that he does. Oh, sinner friend, look, there's no doubt in my mind that somebody's hearing this message today. Oh, that needs hope, that needs help. You haven't had peace for such a long time, if you've ever had it. Look, you know you're in trouble. You know death is looming. You know eternity is facing you, and you're possessed with fear. Oh, excuse me, I mean to tell you, fear is all over you, and rightly so. Who would want to stand before God unjust? Who would want to stand before God unprepared to meet Him? Who would want to stand before God without having the blood of Christ applied to his life or her life? Who would want to stand before God knowing God's going to say, what did you do with my son Jesus, which is called the Christ? And you know that you'll have to walk over that blood. You have to cross that threshold, not into a life of grace and peace and joy and happiness, but you'll enter in by stepping over that blood of Christ that was shed for your sins and my sins, into a Christless eternity, into the regions of the damned, into the darkness of lostness forever and forever. Oh, sinner friend, that blood is precious to both man, or to God and man, excuse me, Father, for putting man first. But I'll tell you, that blood that Jesus shed, that blood that Jesus willingly gave, He said, I laid down my life. No man taketh it from me. You know what it did? It satisfied all the demands of a holy God. It fulfilled all that the law expected to be fulfilled. And look, it satisfied God completely. So completely that God tore the veil of the temple in two, which was an invitation to whosoever willed to come unto him. Hey, it's so precious that even Jesus, before he died, because he knew what his death would mean and what the shedding of his blood would provide, told the malefactor, I believe on his right side, when he had asked him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. Oh, it's precious, this blood, this offering as a ransom for lost souls. It was costly, friend, in the sense that it's of high value. It's esteemed highly by both God and man. But look, the blood is either on your hand, sir, ma'am, or on your sins. I pray today before the night comes that it'll cleanse you from your sins, not some of them, but all of them. It's precious because of its origin. It's precious because of its rarity. And oh, friend, how wonderful that it is, although it's rare. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. It's efficient and it is sufficient. There's enough blood. There's enough blood that was shed one time in the end of the world by that one man who offered one sacrifice to cleanse the world from its sins. Now look, although it's available, that doesn't become actual, sir, ma'am, until you ask God to save you. Until you go to Him in a broken, with a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Until you go to Him confessing, oh God, I'm a sinner. I deserve my place in hell. I deserve to be separated from You for an eternity. But God, though I don't deserve it, I ask for mercy. God, though I know that I'm not sufficient to receive Your grace. Isn't that what grace is about? Lord, would You just pile it up on me? Will You just give it to me? Hey, you know what I believe He'll do? I believe if you're sincere, the Word of God says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe, listen, that He'll wash you in the blood of His Son so that one day, listen now, listen to what He said in the book of the Revelation, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. When they begin to sing a song, those redeemed, those blood-washed redeemed, and they begin to sing, not the song that was sung in chapter 4 about the Creator and how worthy He is to sing or to receive praise and honor and glory, but about the One who redeemed. He says, and they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy, listen to this, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, it's precious blood. It's pure blood. Do you know it? I mean to tell you, it's pure blood. It's free from defilement, free from defect. It's free of contamination. It's unadulterated blood. And oh, I wish I had time to say more about it. But look, Pilate testified that I find no fault in this man Jesus. Even Judas Iscariot, that had sold Him for 30 pieces of silver, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Oh, listen, friend. Even Jesus Himself said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Oh, I want you to know, friend, the blood is not only precious and not only pure, but it's powerful. You know what power means? It means having the ability to do, capable to act. And that, listen, the blood that Christ shed is able to do that, even to the cleansing of your conscience. You know what? My conscience ate me up before I got saved. Now listen, now I still have a memory, but my conscience is clean. I don't understand how God did it. I understand it's because the blood that Jesus shed that did it. I understand that it's because Christ or God the Father or both applied it to my life. Listen, friend, the blood is able to remove that sense of guilt all sinners have. And God replaces it with a peace that passes all understanding. Listen, this gives us, the converted sinner, the ability, folks, to approach a holy God without dread, without fear, and at the same time, it enables me and those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb to worship God joyously, to worship God confidently, and also enables us to serve Him sincerely, truthfully, and confidently. Oh, don't you want that, sinner friend? Don't you want that peace that passes understanding? Don't you want to have that dread taken away from you? That dread of standing before God. That dread of having a place in a place called hell that God said He prepared for the devil and his angels. Hey, listen, come to Christ today. Do it like David did in Psalm 51. With a broken spirit and a broken, a contrite heart, God won't refuse you. You go to Him, friend, admitting that you're a sinner. You got to do that, or else you'll never be saved. Until you realize that you're a sinner, you'll never be saved. Admit it to God. Tell Him that you're sorry you sinned. Tell Him that you want to serve His Son. And ask Him to take the blood of Christ and cleanse you. And you know what I believe He'll do? He'll do that. He knows what a seeking sinner needs. You get a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner together, and something of eternal value will happen. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, friend, I've talked to you about something precious, something pure, something perfect. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Stand.